need water, but that ash in the air does have a tickle in the back of my throat. While I was singing, I could notice it. Man, I hope everyone here had a great week. Do you guys have a good week? Good. Man, and I'm also very glad that you guys have decided to come and worship with me here at North Acid. Today's text. I remember when in VBS, when we were praying about the smoke and stuff, and Robert had a phrase. He says, "And God did it again." And that's the text today. He did it again, where it is so relevant for what we're going through. He just blows me away, you know? And I'll tell you where we've kind of been is that Jesus has just got done teaching on practical righteousness, right? Which is, you know, different acts of worship, which is giving, praying, and fasting. And before that, we talked about, you know, you have heard it said statements, just in case you were wondering, but I say to you, showing Jesus' authority. But all of these, whether you have heard it said statements or practical acts of righteousness, the main thing in there was a heart issue. And today's message is just about that, our hearts. Jesus is going to talk about the heart directly, and he says to us how our motives for doing things, you know, like last week, reveals our hearts. So today we're going to see Jesus is going to talk to us about our heart and if it's in the right place, if it's motivated by the right things, and how Christians can know, followers of Christ can know for certain where our heart is at, who has our allegiance. All right, so Matthew chapter 6, guys, starting in verse 19. You guys there? Say there. Okay, good. "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the darkness within you is darkness, how deep? Oh, if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." That is so true. I don't know about you guys, but we live in a world that is inundated with TV ads, magazine covers, promotions, all with the goal to have you spend your money for the latest and the greatest. Marketing people, their whole job is to convince you that your happiness is dependent on owning the latest cell phone, with all the new features that it is marketed with. But it's also two times the price tag of the previous phone. Or the latest car, or a bigger home. You name it, the world is trying to sell you its goods. But do you know what I've kind of found is that the more things I own, the more anxiety and worry that I tend to have over the things that I own, right? Like, I have a camper. I've been sealing it with silicone and all of that, and just regular maintenance stuff, but the more things that you have, the more things that you have to do. And so, the things I own kind of have a nasty way of owning me and my time. And part of the reason I believe Americans are so stressed today is because they are working a job that they don't like just to pay for things that they don't need. Isn't that true? You guys have seen all the cars that I've driven. Most of them are loaners. But the cars that I actually own, I have a 1987 Toyota Tercel, and I have a 1994 Chevy truck and a 94 Chevy van. And you know what? They might be old, they might be ugly, but they do the task that they were created for, point A to point B. See, here's the point. The point is that when we live on this earth, this is a temporary dwelling. This world is not our home. Our address is a heavenly address. The Bible says, do not be conformed to what? This world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let's dive into the text today that Jesus is teaching on. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust and thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there's the key. There your heart will be also. All treasure is to be held in subjection to God and to be used as He directs. A person who is in touch with eternal realities can afford to hold on to earthly possessions with a loose hand, right? Open hands. It's been my experience as I've lived in this world that when we hold on to stuff loosely, we are able to grab on to things that God has prepared for us. But if our grip is firm on the things and the stuff in our life, we do not have the capacity to accept any new thing that might be better than the thing that we are currently holding on to. Worldly wealth soon passes away and leaves him who has nothing else poor indeed. But those who lay up treasures in heaven and by spending and being spent by God, Paul, he understood this. He says, you know, I've known what it is to be full, and I've known what it is to have lack. But he says, even if I'm going to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, what does he do? He rejoices. So he knew what it was to have stuff and to have no stuff, and yet he says, I'm a drink offering. That's all I am, and I rejoice in being poured out. Oh my. Well, okay, so here's the thing is that the things. Jesus is not saying that we can't own things. What Jesus is saying is the things can't own us. Right? And you guys remember the rich young ruler, right? He came to Jesus asking him, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus, knowing our hearts, he puts his finger right on the issue that the rich young ruler struggled with. And He says, okay, you lack one thing. What's the one thing? Go sell your possessions and then come follow me. He has the option to follow Jesus. And what does he do? He walks away sad. Why? The Bible says because he had great possessions. But the truth is, the great possessions had him. They had him. Do you know, though, that Scripture teaches about how God can use possessions? And every time that we give of our possessions, like I said, with a loose, open hand, we give freely because maybe God has something better in store or he has a plan for those possessions. Think about this. I'm going to give you guys three examples. Buster already kind of gave one away, the fish and the loaves of bread. But the first one, how about the donkey that he rode in on? He tells his disciples, go into a certain village. There's a man there that has a donkey. And say, the Lord has need of it, and he'll give it to you. That's exactly what they did. And that donkey was given to the disciples for the use of the Lord. And that donkey is remembered to this day that because of who it carried, right? Who it carried. Secondly, the fish, right? When Jesus was teaching the multitudes, and there was 4,000 men, and the disciples said, well, should we send them away so they can get something to eat? He says, well, tell me what you have. And they go looking, and a kid brings his basically a sack lunch, and they got 2 loaves and 5 fish. He says, that'll do. And he gives to the Lord willingly. It may not be much, Lord, but you can have what I do have. Watch what the Lord can do with little, right? He multiplies it. So much so that there was baskets of leftovers. And everybody had their fill. Everybody had their fill. And finally, the tomb. Joseph of Arimathea owned a brand new carved out of stone tomb, and he gave it willingly to the Lord for the use of Jesus. Now, that tomb is the most famous tomb in all of history, not because of who stayed in it, but because of who got out of that tomb. That tomb is the most famous tomb because it's empty. Amen? See, the reason I gave you guys those three examples is when we give to the Lord, he has this amazing quality to multiply the results, to make them have a larger impact. So it might just be a donkey, right? But it carried the King of Kings into Jerusalem that day. It might just be a sack lunch that you have given to the Lord. But he had a tendency to bless a multitude of people with that sack lunch. So here's what I'm saying. Maybe God is calling you and your possessions to be used for his kingdom and his glory. And with a willing heart and an open hand, and you give it to the Lord, you will watch him. Trust me, you will watch him multiply it and amplify its impact more than you could have done on your own. So maybe it's a house, right? A spare room that you have that you could open up for the people affected by the fires. Or maybe it's a truck. And its purpose is to haul things. Maybe you could use that truck for the glory of God to haul stuff to the dump for people or things from people's house. Thank you. That's an old one. Okay. All right. Basically, the effects of what we give to the Lord have effects for eternity. Okay. I have a true story about possessions. It's a true story about a boy named Jeremiah Thomas. A few years ago, actually quite a few years ago, he got bone cancer. And with his Make-A-Wish Foundation, he lives in Texas at the time, with his Make-A-Wish Foundation wish, he asked for a meeting with the then governor. All I remember is his last name, Abbott. Does anybody remember the governor of Texas, Abbott? I forget his first name. Anyways, he got a meeting with the governor where he asked the governor to put forth an abolition of abortion bill to be voted on. Well, he did get that bill, and then the Senate ultimately crushed the bill, right? It didn't pass. That boy, Jeremiah Thomas, eventually did die of his cancer. His father's name is Rusty Thomas. And after his son passed, the father's most prized possession was the boy's used Bible, where Jeremiah would put his notes and annotations and highlights in his Bible. So Rusty said he got a glimpse into the heart of his son after he passed through his Bible. Well, a few years pass, and Rusty and his wife are on their first mission trip since the passing of their boy. And they find themselves in Africa passing out Bibles to anyone who wants them. Well, a young boy comes running up at the end of the day to Rusty, and he says, "Did I make it in time?" All winded. "Is there any Bibles left?" And sadly, Rusty had to say, "No, we've passed out all the Bibles that we were given." And so the boy hung his head and started to walk away sad. But God started talking to Rusty. He says, "You do have one Bible left." And Rusty said, "Not that Bible. That's my boy's Bible." "Yes, your boy's Bible." And so after some negotiating between Rusty and God, Rusty shouts out and he says, "Hey, son, come back here. I do have a Bible." And he says, "This was my boy's Bible, and God wants you to have it." Remember, that Bible was filled with annotations and highlights. Well, that boy went home and devoured that Bible, and he was inspired by all the annotations that Jeremiah left in that Bible. And the young boy that got that Bible ends up being a pastor and a preacher to many in Africa today. Wow. Talk about ripple effects. Isn't that good? All because he was willing to give what he thought was the most prized thing away. Wow. The thing is, guys, God can do amazingly, exceedingly, abundantly more than we ask or think or imagine. Isn't that not what the Bible says? If only we would trust him when he asks of us. The truth is this: we have all that we need because God is our provider and our sustainer. And Christ said it himself. Why, you know, why do we worry about what will we wear or where will we live or what we will eat? But later in the book of Matthew, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things." These things are talking about food, shelter, and clothing. Will be provided for you. So the question is, what does your heart desire? The advance of his kingdom or yours? And talking about money, right? You can't serve two masters. And that is the truth. And when he says, when Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever we invest our energies into, our time, our treasure, and our talents, our hearts follow what we invest into. If you want to know what someone truly values, you need to look at those three things. Where do they spend their time? Where do they spend their energy? And where do they spend their money? You can get a good sense of what people value in their life based on those three things. Now, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, meaning that your heart follows your treasure, not the other way around. Okay? And so, look at your finances. Look where you're spending your time. What you're devoting yourself to, because that really has your heart. This is a litmus test to find out who truly has the allegiance of your heart. And is it Christ and his kingdom? Or is it the world and its kingdom? All right, let's move on a little bit. The eye is a lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? Now, wait a minute. I thought we were talking about possessions and your heart. And then all of a sudden, Jesus switches to your eye and your eyesight. He's reiterating this first thought. So Jews considered the eyes to be the window of one soul. It follows that what you allow into your mind, your thought life, produces desires, which in turn produces actions. And it's one's actions or their conduct that reveal who a person truly is. And, you know, at first glance, when we think, wait, this doesn't have anything to do with the last section that we were talking about. But the more I looked at it and I thought about it, the heart and its desires do have to do with eyesight. The eyes are the window to the soul. And if we are to have clear vision, if we had clear vision, you know what that means? That we have clear purpose. We can see our purpose clearly. We think on kingdom principles and kingdom dynamics. But if our eyesight is bad, we can't see straight, possibly even at all. And a truly blind person can see nothing but darkness, not light. What we focus on directs our path. Remember, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? A light unto my path. God's word is a light, and it helps us see along our path. Which path is that, you say? Well, the path of righteousness, the path that is through the kingdom of God. This is the narrow path that Jesus talks about. Do you know what he says? Few find it. Few find it. Because wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many are on it. Hard words. Charles Spurgeon, I love what he writes about this verse. He says, a heart professedly set upon heaven, but held in bondage to earth, is like an eye blinded by the intrusion of a foreign substance. Involving the unfortunate owner in its darkness, there's no such thing as seeing spiritual things while the soul's windows are fastened up with shutters of worldliness. Think about that. You can't see spiritual things while the windows of your soul are fastened up with worldliness. Again, I think about, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. right? This is not our home. This is a temporary dwelling. And what we are the sent ones. The Greek word for apostle is apostolos, which means sent ones. That's what we are. We're the sent ones. And what are we being sent with? A message. A message of hope. A message of healing. A message of redemption. That salvation is found in no one else except for Christ Jesus. That's what Acts says, that there's no name given under heaven, given to men in which they must be saved except for Jesus Christ. We're on mission, guys. And while we're on mission, we use everything at our disposal for that mission. So that means our money, our time, our energy, our things, our possessions can even be tools. You know, this idea about on mission and drawing a line in the sand, not being in this world. You know, when I was a mechanic back at PacWest, we went into this lunchroom and the head mechanic was a professed Christian. He liked to tell people he was Christian. And there was two younger mechanics whom I was evangelizing to and working on. But I had my work cut out because the professed Christian kept acting not like a Christian, right? And so they would see this and made my job difficult. Well, one day, I go into the lunchroom and they're having a conversation already. And the topic came up about doing something sinful for a large sum of money. And they said, Matt, would you ever do X, Y, or Z for $1 million? No. How about $5 million? No. And they kept increasing the money. I said, look, for no amount of money would I do it because I've drawn a line in the sand. The Bible says, and I told them this, what profit does it gain a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Which means the money that the whole world is worth, if you could bottle up the whole world and sell it for a sum of money, it's still not as valuable as a person's soul. Do you guys get that? Why do I share this? Well, the two younger mechanics asked the professed Christian, the head mechanic, the same question, and he said he would do it for the initial amount of money, whatever it was, $1 million. You know what this showed me? That even people that say they have lines in the sand, very few people are willing to stand firm on that line in the sand and say, no matter what, whatever is thrown my way, I will not budge on this. When money is involved, though, people get kind of fickle about their convictions. I talked about the rich young ruler, right? He left because his possessions had him. Do you know what he eventually says about the rich young ruler? Because the disciples came to him afterwards talking about money. And in their eyes, they thought because of the giving, remember, you could buy righteousness. The Pharisees could buy righteousness by giving and all of that. But they said, well, if a rich person can't enter into heaven, who can? And Jesus says, what? He says, it is harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. He says it's hard. It's not impossible. Right? Can a camel go through the eye of a needle? Could it? Yes, it actually could. If we liquefied the camel, you could... Yeah, you could. It's hard, but it is possible. But here's the thing. Having money isn't the problem that makes it hard to get into the kingdom of heaven. It's hard because money has a tendency to divert our allegiance, our devotion. You can be a Christian with great money and wealth. You can. But there's checks and balances that you should put into place to check to see if your heart is still having its allegiance to Christ. Here's one takeaway I want you to walk away with. This is truly a heart issue. Who truly has your heart? And if it's God, then support Him in all things. With your time, your treasure, your talent. Now, as a side note, remember I told you that what you spend your time doing, your time, your treasure, your talents, your heart follows? Do you know that this is actually true? This actually plays out that your heart follows when you invest time, treasure, or talent? Okay. As a side note, okay, if you know anybody that is struggling in their marriage, here's what I want you to tell them. Right? Younger families, right, that are struggling in their marriage, tell them, reinvest your time, your talent, or your treasure back into that marriage, and your heart will follow. If you don't feel the way that you felt when you first started dating, you need to reinvest, and your heart will follow. So start doing the things that you stopped doing, right? Buy flowers, buy gifts, right? That might be her act of love or his act of love or whatever, but that's money being spent for a gift. Your heart will start to follow where you're spending your money. Or maybe it's time. You start doing acts of service. Hey, honey, I know that this needed done, so I did it for you. Guess what? Your heart will start to value that relationship again. So, I don't know. You guys all have grandkids and people that you can give that wisdom to in your life. No one can serve two masters, guys. You cannot serve both God and money. That's the truth. And so, what my hope is that this church would use the possessions that we have and give them or have them on the table, said, like the donkey, if the Lord has need of it, He can have it. And watch what God would do with this church and whatever possessions that we have for Him and for His glory and for His kingdom. We may be not as big as all the other churches, but God can use a sack lunch to bless 5,000 people. What could He use of this church to bless the surrounding community? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the scripture that was before us today, Lord. I do think it was for a time and a season such as this, that this is exactly what we needed to hear. Lord, You do have a miraculous way of amplifying and multiplying the things that we place into Your hands. And so, Lord, right now, I want everyone to have a heart check and to say, man, am I truly devoted to You and Your kingdom? If you haven't began a walk with Christ, I'll be down front, and I really pray, Lord, that someone today has made that decision, that they are ready to follow You. Because this world and everything that we see is passing away. It's all temporary. And the only thing, Lord, that is better than going to heaven is taking someone with us. So, Lord, give us opportunity as we go from here. Give us the opportunity to share the gospel with someone and change their eternal destiny. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.